96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
That's why we walk through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes.
That's the theme from the new civil rights drama Selma, now in theaters. The song by Common and John Legend could be a modern battle cry for a watershed moment in civil rights history some 50 years ago. We don't often realize the significant role music and musicians played in our history, but tonight you're going to learn some of that ahead of MLK Day next week and a pre-ML Day concert. MLK Day concert featuring Chaka Khan, that's in D.C. this week. Now, my guests are civil rights and arts activists Roscoe Dellums, Daryl Brooks, and Carol Kirkendall of CD Enterprises, also arts activists, and Gerald Scott, a production manager at CD Enterprises. I want to talk about a little history tonight and how it even affects us today as it relates to music and protest and civil rights movements. The lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate you coming in.
Yes. Great to be here.
Okay. Now, you've heard Glory from Selma, right?
Yes.
I want you to react to this glory.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. As we go by.
If you recognize that group, then, you know, it's Sweet Honey in the Rock, a cappella group of great renown. I want to have Ms. Dellums first tell me about, you know, that song as a protest song, as a song as it relates to the civil rights movement, compared to the one that we heard for this movie, Selma. Same thing, different time, what?
Well, first, let me mention that Bernice Johnson, is that give the correct last name. I want to make sure I do that. She was a student at Spelman during the time of the early movement with Martin Luther King, during the time when he was imprisoned, when he was jailed, I should say. And the students at Spelman were very active in the movement. And many of them decided to write letters to Martin Luther King to keep him kind of, you know, to raise his spirits during that period. Now, you take that very same person who already was engaged in her talent at Spelman, and she, as you know, formed the group Sweet Honey and the Rock. So there is a history of her involvement for real. It's just not something that's artificial or started.
Or happenstance.
No, it's not happenstance. Mm-hmm. These were the young people who were looking who were the real protesters whose lives were on the line. That's where you have the John Lewis's and all these, the young people, because it was through the young people that once that was being televised on, and people got to see that young people were being brutalized and the hoses and the dogs. There was a different kind of interest, a different kind of outrage. And so, you know, we thank Bernice because she and her group kept that going, and it's like you know, it was our type, when I say our, as an African American, our folk music.
Mm-hmm.
Because folk music generally was a cappella or with one instrument, maybe a guitar or something very, very simple. And it... it might have had a some roots in a religion, because a lot of our music has, you know, comes out of, there's a derivative of our church music, and of course that also is where much of the movement was also being stroked and taking place and being organized in our churches.
Let me ask Daryl a similar question, Daryl, because we heard Glory from Selma. We've heard Sweet Honey in the Rock. How do you think music has changed movements, whether it's civil rights movements or affected movements, such as we see today, you know, the Ferguson movement that is in the headlines so much right now?
Well, Ferguson is more current, but I go back to, like, Gil Scott-Heron when he was talking about apartheid in South Africa.
Okay.
I go to the different things that happened, like in Compton in California, where there were groups who talked about what was the conditions with brutality and police there. I talk about, watch this junkyard band here in Washington, D.C., who were talking about different things that happened politically that was causing problems in our community. So there's always been a communication. But you can take it further back than that. You can take it back to slavery, because there was always some kind of underground sound, some kind of beat, some kind of drum that communicated to all of us who are part of that part of our history, a part of our history. You know, we're descendants of slaves, so consequently we have a way of communicating through religion was an organization, but currently there are certain guys now who have consciousness. I would say Nas. I would say different. I don't want to start naming them, but you talk about Common. They tell a story. They tell a story that people could communicate with and connect to. And from a massive standpoint, because of mass media, it also plays a part. And performing arts. I don't want to just leave it to just music, though, because arts in general, from the theatrical arts to the graphic arts, film arts, all those disciplines brought us to a certain level of consciousness.
Well, I want Carol to react to this one, because certainly when you talk about messages and movements, this is the one that a lot of people are very familiar with. Of course, Stevie Wonder, Happy Birthday. That song really helped lead the charge to changing the minds of a lot of people on Capitol Hill, in the White House, along with that groundswell of activity, marches, you know, powerful civil rights leaders, as well as, you know, grassroots people. You know, could it be argued, Carol, that without that song, maybe MLK Day would not be here now, or at least it would have taken a lot longer than it did?
I believe that. We had worked, this crew right in front of you, with Roscoe, ever since Human Kindness Day. Every year we marched in Washington, D.C. We were on the back of trucks. We did our own promotion. And Stevie came every year. And we went before the House. We tried desperately to make people pay attention to the fact that this should be a recognized holiday. It wasn't until Coretta Scott King, Roscoe, Ron, Daryl, Gerald, all of us came together with Stevie at the Capitol Center in 1981, and he introduced Happy Birthday to you.
I need to take a break, but when we come back, we want to hear from Gerald, too, because we've got something happening coming up this week, and I want to make sure that Gerald gets a chance to comment on that. So stay with us. We're talking about music and the movements, the part that music and entertainers play in our history. We're also going to go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about music and the movement, the significant role music and musicians played in our history. My guests are civil rights and arts activists Leola Roscoe Dellums, Daryl Brooks, and Carol Kirkendall of CD Enterprises, and Gerald Scott, production manager at CD Enterprises. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. And you may wonder why was playing Chaka Khan. Well, Chaka Khan is coming to town this weekend in a pre-MLK Day concert. But, you know, it certainly can be argued that Chaka Khan was and remains a major part of African-American music history. She represents, some would say, with that song,
I'm Every Woman.
Yeah, a movement.
Not I'm Every Woman.
Yeah, well, but that, and it's okay. You know,
it's
movement.
It's a feminist anthem, believe
me. You could argue feminist anthem, but I would say, can we say woman positive anthem?
Oh, well, that's positive.
Because certainly not every woman who liked that song and supported the message was a feminist. You know, my mama danced to that song.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, talk to me briefly about Chaka Khan and what she brings to this discussion.
I think Chaka Khan definitely is a part of that whole tapestry of consciousness, because I'm going back to the consciousness that was being spread by musicians and artists across the country.
Oh, but you can go before then, because, you know, Chaka was a Black Panther. She was a Black Panther in Chicago.
You know about that California
stuff. Oh, yeah.
Stuff.
No, but that was in Chicago. She was an activist. And a lot of people don't realize that Chaka was out there doing those real things. Like Danny Glover was also a Black Panther, and he was a Black Panther in the San Francisco Bay Area. And Chaka was part of the group when the police came down and killed that brother in Chicago. And for a while there, you know, who would have ever thought she could even have a career? Because if they came after Angela Davis for her involvement during that period with the breakout in the prisons in San Francisco, a lot of these people could be numbered and could be blackballed. But Chaka, very thankfully, has managed to have a career and has never ever backed down on her activism.
Gerald,
yes.
I was going to say that because I wanted to make sure that you were part of this. And for those of you who don't know, Chaka Khan, she will be at the DAR Constitution Hall this Friday, January 16th. Special guest Loose Ends. Gosh, I didn't know that. I love Loose Ends, too. Gosh, I want to go. Anyway, I need to go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Reggie, quickly, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Good evening, my friends, to your panel. When we had the people like Curtis Mayfield, James Brown, and Nina Simone, what Europeans played a part? Because they said something about Tony Bennett supposed to help raise money as well as Motown. How did they raise money for the movement?
Well, I'd like to address that. Harry Belafonte organized a lot of the entertainers to come down and to be involved in some of the big marches, along with King and Abernathy, and actually A. Philip Randolph and Bayard Rustin, and all the wonderful, that's labor union and as well as the entertainment. That's where you have Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee, and you have Lena Horne, and it can go on and on. And there were quite a few Blacks, even Charleston Heston, can you believe it? But they were all there, and they were raising money and making the movement possible. It takes money for these movements. A lot of people don't realize that. And that was to get, you know, the marchers there, and to protect the young people who were part of the free speech movement. It was to find places for people to stay and to engage in learning how to exercise turning the other cheek.
Nonviolent.
Oh yeah, but they were there, and I think it's important, and I'm glad that you raise it, that for young people to start doing their own research and start learning some of this history, and not, you know, waiting for someone to give them, you know, like a little sound bites about what our history is, and not just going to the movies and that sort of thing. We have the technology now to get it right. And so right now I'm making you a teacher. You go and you learn and you teach, okay?
I'm going to take a break. If you're on the phone, Susan, Robert, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More about music and the movement, the significant role music and musicians played in our history. We'll be back on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a bit.